Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We are thankful to see each one tonight. Glad to have several here tonight. We haven't seen them in a little while. Glad Brother Brandon, Sister Susan, and kids will be with us on Wednesday night. I know it's kind of a rare occasion. With all the revivals going on, he usually gets snatched up pretty quick. I'm glad that they could be here with us tonight. I need your prayer. You pray for me. I thought about the church here at Clear Branch. You know, we want to be a blessing to the lost. I know that's my burden as a pastor. I want to be a blessing to the lost. And I know that's your burden as a church as well. You know, we want to encourage one another and provoke one another to love and good works. But we want to see people saved. And that's why we're here, is to be a light to this world. And it's been some time since we've at least, you know, had a profession of faith. I'm not saying somebody wasn't saved Sunday, but, you know, if that's the case, then we don't know that. And so we need to be praying because we're watching these young people grow up. And we know that the Lord deals with young people in their youth. We don't know what age or, you know, at what time. That's God's business. That's the business of the Holy Spirit, not ours. But we do need to be concerned about them. We need to be praying for them. You know, that when the Lord opens their eyes, that they will be quick to trust Jesus and be saved. You know, when you think about that young people coming to a time where the Lord begins to deal with their heart, what separates one from what we call being saved to a point where they're lost? And we look at children growing up and we say, well, they're safe. God has never dealt with their heart yet. But there comes a time when that does take place. God deals with their heart. And so when he deals with their heart, what happens is he just simply brings them to knowledge. That's what conviction is. You hear Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit conviction is knowledge. It's a knowledge that, you know, the Holy Spirit brings you to a point you understand that you are lost. And only God can do that. For a preacher to stand, we preach a message. We preach the gospel. We preach what God puts on our heart to the best of our ability as we, you know, study and we prepare a message. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict hearts. And I know this, God is still in the saving business. We hadn't come to a time where God just said, I'm not going to save anybody else. I believe when that time comes, he's going to come to get his children, take them home. So we're still here. The Lord's still dealing with hearts. And so it might be somebody, you know, the Lord might deal with your heart tonight. He might show you and bring you to a knowledge that it's you that needs to be saved. If that's the case, I would that you would trust Jesus immediately. Don't put it off, because it's real easy. You hear people maybe give their testimony, and they talk about how they got saved, and they talk about, you know, some people talk about the struggle they went through being lost for years and years. And, you know, it might be somebody, the Lord deals with their heart, and they see that they're lost, and they think, well, I'm going to get saved at some point. And you begin to deal with that and just put it off. Don't put off salvation. We sing a song, don't put off salvation too long. I'm going to just say, don't put it off at all. Don't put it off at all. Get saved the moment that the Lord deals with your heart. Go ahead and just trust Jesus at that point. I say that because I speak from experience. The moment the Lord dealt with my heart and showed me I was lost, that's the moment I turned and trusted Jesus. I didn't stay lost for hours. I didn't stay lost for days. I stayed lost for minutes. And the Lord saved my heart. And my wife has that same testimony. And yet, we were, what, 6 years apart in age when the Lord dealt with us for the first time? So, if the Lord deals with your heart, you trust him. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And that just means he couldn't talk. He had a spirit. He was not able to speak. Verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. We'll cease reading with these verses. Of course, the rest of the story, the spirit does come out of him. The Lord commands, and that's exactly what takes place. I want to ask you something tonight. Very simple question. That's all I want to do is ask some simple questions and try to give some logical explanation. At the end of the night, it's up to you whether you choose to believe or not. What was the problem that this man had? This man had a problem. What was his problem? This man had a problem concerning his son. And he understood his problem very well. He understood the problem more than the son understood the problem. I don't know all this child understood, because he had a spirit that was causing him to wallow and foam and cast himself into the fire and into the water. I don't know all he understood, but this man understood very well. He understood, my child has a problem. My child has a dumb spirit. My child is unable to speak. My child has a spirit that causes him bodily harm. You think about this, a spirit that tears him. That would be very hard for a father to watch that, to see and to feel hopeless that I can't fix this. I've tried. I believe if there's a doctor in the land, he probably tried to see a doctor. He probably, you know, went to psychologists. He probably went anywhere where he felt like he might be able to get some help. I believe he probably went there. But he understood this spirit is causing my child bodily harm. He's caused mental trouble. He makes a statement. He said, he pineth away. We don't use that word much anymore, pineth away. But that means he has a deep, there's something going on mentally. That he has a deep sadness. That word pineth, if you pineth away, you just kind of, a sadness that overwhelms you. He has a deep sadness or a longing. There's a longing to be whole. So when he's pining, he's longing for something. And so he says this about his child. My child just sits there and he's got this deep sadness about him. He longs to be made whole. What don't you see tonight is this. This man had a full knowledge of his problem. He wasn't guessing. He knew every symptom. He was aware of the dangers that his child faced every day. And as a father, you know, you want to be able to fix it, but no matter who you are, you can't be there 24/7. The moment you nod off, there's that thought, well, what if he gets in trouble? What if he hurts himself? The moment you have to be away on business, you're wondering, oh, what's going on while I'm gone? And so, he's aware of all this. He knows the danger. He is absolutely just fretting over the situation. And so he was moved to at least, and I won't use this word, try. He was moved to try Jesus. He didn't come to him at first with full faith that Jesus is the answer to my problem. He came to Jesus because he wanted to try something. He come there to try, to see if maybe the Lord could do something to help him. So he came and he spoke with Jesus in a factual way. He describes the symptoms. He tells him, you know, exactly what's going on. But I want you to notice the very first request he makes. He says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm going to tell you what, that sounds good and it tugs at your heartstrings. It does mine. I mean, look, he's come, he's trying, he's got the facts right, and he's come to the right place for help. He came to Jesus. But he does not believe that Jesus can do it. He wants him to be able to do it. He hopes he might be able to do it. But he does not believe he can do it. And so the Lord has to help him with that. And as he makes this request, he's wanting something from the Lord. He wants it desperately. He wants help. I believe he would have paid any price that he possibly could afford or even been some. He would have went in debt all of his life probably to fix this problem. I come to you. You're the right person for the job, and I need your help, and I know you've done other things for other people, and so I'm here, and if you can help me, I need your help. And all that sounds so good. It does. But Jesus turns his if around on him. He didn't do that to be mean. He didn't do that for any other reason but to show him and to show the whole world, the Lord can do anything you need him to do, but you're going to have to believe him. He said, if thou canst believe all things, A-L-L, that's every problem you ever face, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's good stuff. Whenever we understand that, and first, if you're lost, when you understand that, it will change your eternity. But even after you get saved, every time we come to that knowledge, man, things are so bad. I wish God could just help me a little bit. But are you believing He can? Faith changes things. Faith is why we're here. It's why we're here on this earth. The Lord wants us to trust Him. He wants us to put Him first. You think about God, everything He asks of us, it really comes back to faith. Don't have any other gods before me. He wants you to trust Him. Above everything else, trust Him. If you can do anything, then help us. Jesus said, if you can just believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you believe, you shall see the help you need. If you believe. If you believe, you shall see. Many years ago, I preached a message. And the thought I want to deal with tonight is the same. Believing is seeing. This man coming, he wanted seeing is believing. If you can help. And as he asked his brother Ryan, he said, if you can do anything, then help us. And he wants the Lord to fix it so he can believe. He don't believe yet. But boy, if you just fix it and I saw my son without this devil, then I would believe in you. I would believe it. But the Lord said, that's not what I'm looking for. I want you to believe. If you'll believe, then I can help you. Not seeing is believing. I want believing is seeing. Jesus said believing is seeing. That's what he's telling you here. Believe. Whenever we believe, believing turns into our evidence. Whenever I believed in Jesus as my Savior, Jesus saved me. My belief turned into my evidence. I could take my belief and come back to Scripture and say, see here it says, if you believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that's me, I believe. And whenever I believed, it became my evidence of salvation. It became the substance I hold on to. That's what faith is. Without belief, the man would have been, he would have been left without hope. You say, well, the Lord could just fix it. He could. The Creator gave us life. He created us. He has arranged life in such a way that I don't have to go. I'm not a robot. I get free will. There's religions out there today, and they knocking on our doors. Ain't you, Brother Brandon, that believe we don't have any choice in the matter whatsoever concerning salvation. It's every way you look. But the Lord gave us free will. You can choose me or not. You can believe on me or not. You can be sitting in a church service and be innocent. All of a sudden, the Lord opens your eyes. You realize, man, I'm lost. But along with that, God gives you free will. You can believe on Him or not. It's up to you. You can trust Him or not. Without belief, the man would have been left without hope. If you're lost, let me ask you something. What exactly is the problem? If you come tonight to church and you knew, when you even come, you knew, I'm coming lost. Or if the Lord's opened your eyes and you realize, man, I'm the one that's lost. Or maybe you've been lost for years. What exactly is the problem? We say that, you're lost. What's the problem there? You probably have a pretty good factual knowledge of that, don't you? You know what's going on. But the problem is this, and here's what I'm asking you. What knowledge do you have? How did you get it? Is it not of good and evil? That's the knowledge you have? See, here you are. You're innocent. You come to church and message don't bother you a bit. You come to church and you hear about the lost and you don't even consider yourself because your eyes are not open. You don't have that knowledge until you do. Until God opens your eyes and you realize, I am a sinner. That's the problem. You're lost. That's the problem right there. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Brother D, that's the problem. I'm a sinner and the wages of sin is death. Those that are lost, the Scripture says that you'll be cast into a lake of fire. That's a problem. That's a problem worse than having a dumb spirit. That's a problem worse than having cancer. That's a problem worse than, you know, if you keep that problem. It's worse. The knowledge you have, God gave you that knowledge. His Word gave you that knowledge. It was preached to you. You heard it. It was taught to you. Maybe in how you was raised, you were taught Scripture. You heard Scripture. God has used the Scripture. He's used His Word. And God's Spirit has convicted your heart. And now you realize I'm lost. And the problem is I'm lost because I'm a sinner. The problem is that if I stay a sinner, that I will be cast into a lake of fire, that there's a place called hell, and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have Scripture that says there's a man lifted his eyes in hell, and the moment he did, he was in torments, in flames. He asked for a drop of water to be placed on his tongue because he was tormented in these flames. And whenever you understand that, when God gives you that knowledge, when He convicts your heart, all of a sudden you realize, I'm a sinner, and that's where I'm headed. That's the problem. The place called hell, unquenchable fire. To stand before the Lord at judgment and then to be cast out into a lake of fire. Into outer darkness, the Scripture speaks of outer darkness. Now, if you're here and you're lost and you understand that and God has shown you that,
then perhaps this knowledge has moved you to try Jesus. I think there's a lot of people that go to church and they try Jesus. They won't have a Jesus moment. I hear religion. I'm not saying somebody's not saved, but that's a poor way of describing it, just having a Jesus moment. Oh. Maybe you come to church and you've tried Jesus. Maybe it's more than that. You come and you've tried to get saved. You've tried. I believe I can say about this man, he came and he tried to get help. And he was serious. He was serious about it. And he come to the right place. If there's ever going to be any help, Jesus wanted to do it. And Jesus had helped a lot of other people. So there's evidence the Lord can do it. He's done it. And maybe here you are, you're lost. And you look around and say, well, I tell you what, most people in this room saved. And so I know that the Lord can do it. And the Lord has shown me I'm lost. I know I'm in trouble. And so I've tried to get saved. And so I come to the Lord. And you've come to Him. Maybe you have prayed. I'm going to use this term in a factual way. Maybe you come to Him and, Lord, if you can save me, I don't want to be lost. If you can save me, save me. You've saved all these other people, apparently. You fixed a lot of other people's problems, so if you can save me, save me. And I'm going to tell you what, from my point of view and from man's point of view, that sounds good. It does. It sounds good. And I'll tell you what you can do. Is you can walk away from the Lord and even feel like maybe He's wrong with me. I went to Him, I asked Him to save me if He could, and He didn't do it. Maybe He just won't save me. All the while, you're dancing around the most important thing, and that is faith. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. That goes for salvation. Here you are lost, you're in trouble, you need help desperately, you can't fix this on your own. You have at least shown some interest in being saved in your mind. Maybe you said, I'm going to get saved, I'm going to try it. I heard what the preacher said, I'm going to at least try it. And so you go, maybe you go and pray, Lord, if you can save me, save me. I believe this, Jesus is still saying, if you can believe, I can do anything. If you can believe, I'll save you. The reason I believe that is because that's exactly what Scripture says. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. You don't get saved any other way. Jesus has done everything needs to be done for you to be saved. He has done enough to save the whole world. Whenever He paid the sin debt of mankind, He didn't leave out anybody. Everybody's sin debt's already paid. But in order to receive it, you've got to trust in Jesus. Be saved. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Because you may say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm believing right now. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. All right, I tried that. Nothing happened. That may seem good, may seem right to you, but that is not faith. That's not what faith is. You're not going to pretend to believe so that you can get Jesus to save you. That way you can see you're saved. That way you can believe what He did. In order to be saved, you're just going to have to believe it. And whenever you believe it, that belief becomes the evidence you need. Look at Acts chapter 10. I'm sorry, I said Acts chapter 10. Go ahead, one more book, Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. The word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to this, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I've had some people come along before and say, I tell you what, I called to the Lord and the Lord didn't answer me. What you're doing with that is taking your understanding and you're challenging Scripture with it. Listen what he said. How then shall they call in on him in whom they have not believed? You can say you call on him all you want to, but you call on Christ believing. You got to call on Christ believing. Believing on him. Paul watched his nation, his brethren, have a zeal for God, but it was not according to a biblical sound knowledge. They were trying to establish righteousness within themselves. And they were trying to check off a list of do's and don'ts. And they felt like, we're pretty good. We must be saved. But Jesus even says, search the scriptures, friend, and you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Paul said they have a knowledge, that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They were zealous of their religion. And they were zealous of their works. And because of all this zeal, they were not seeing God's plan. There's a lot of people that are lost and they're so concentrated on them and what they're doing that they don't stop and understand what Christ did. What I need to do, I need to do this, I need to do that. I've got to try harder. I've got to think clear. I've got to solve the puzzle. They look at salvation like it's a Rubik's Cube. And if I can finally get that thing turned, get all the colors right, then I finally will get salvation. And it's not a puzzle. It's a surrender. It's understanding the Lord already solved the problem. He already fixed it. You just have to believe in Him, what He did. So when you call out to the Lord for salvation, you're not calling it out just with facts and figures. You're calling out in faith. You're believing on Him. God's salvation is by grace through faith. Verse 13 again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God sent a message to you. It's been preached to you here. So you can believe. God gave you free will. You can believe it. You can believe in Jesus right here, right now. Be saved. Or you can lean on your own understanding and say, there's got to be more to it than that. I've got to try to solve this problem on my own. I've got to try to get the Rubik's Cube all twisted right. But I can tell you this with confidence. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Shall be saved. Oh, Senator, listen, if you can believe in Jesus as you call upon His name for salvation, you shall be saved. Belief comes before salvation, though, not after. Believing is sealed. When you trust Jesus for soul salvation, you have believed, you believed you're saved. When you believe that you're saved based on what Christ did, how can you ever believe you're lost? You believe you're saved. Last verse 7.